The John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
You found it. You're here. You're headlong down the runaway train that is the Anomic Age. I am your host, John Age, and I'm all too happy to be back with you again today for a full edition of the program. I can't hide it. I'm a little bit giddy. I'm happy to be back with you. So happy to always roll out another one of these shows. There's so much going on in my life all the time, but I'm always just about giddy to put one of these episodes out and to bring you another guest. We got James Perloff joining us today to get into COVID and so much more. So hold on to your hats for that. Check out AnomicAge.com. Share those links, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. Like all the likes, subscribe to all the subscriptions. I'm on Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute, YouTube. What am I missing? I think that's about it. I'm on all those platforms. Still on Telegram. Still on that. So still on Gab. Still there. You miss me on any of those other ones. Facebook. Yeah, still there. So you won't find me on Twitter. That's been taken down long ago. But check out the aforementioned. Make sure you turn on the notifications. iPhone app, Android app. That's all free from my homepage, as well as the free newsletter. AnomicAge.com is where you can find all that. This is available in all those links as well. But PayPal.me/AnomicAge. Patreon.com/AnomicAge as well. You can become a full-on sponsor and make this a regular thing, or you can just donate once or twice. It doesn't matter to me how large or small the donation or sponsorship. I would appreciate it greatly. I know we're entering into the holiday season. Times are tough and only getting tougher. But if you could see your way clear to throw me a little bit of Kwan, that would be wonderful. I would love to apply it to making this site, show, and everything else better. That's one of the things on my things to do list. I hope and pray within the coming days and months, getting some new tech to make this thing run smoother. Enough of that. Enough of me. Hold on to your hats. For just a mere matter of moments, we'll be joined by our guest on the other side. Stick around. I'm very happy to welcome Mr. James Perloff into the Anomic Age today. James is author of The Shadows of Power, an expose on the Council on Foreign Relations that has sold over 100,000 copies, and two books about evidence against Darwin's theory of evolution, including Tornado in a Junkyard. He wrote for the New American Magazine for nearly three decades. His 2013 book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, is a comprehensive primer on the New World Order, supplemented by his 2019 book, 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw. His latest publication just last year is COVID-19, The Agendas to Come, Red Pilled. His website, jamesperloff.net. And he's also on Twitter under James Perloff. That's P-E-R-L-O-F-F. I'll have all those available for you. But thank you so much, James, for being with us today and taking the time.
Thank you, John. You're also taking your time, and I appreciate your having this platform.
Oh, very welcome. I'm just happy to get to speak with great guests like yourself. Man, there's so much to get into, as always. There's never a shortage of stuff I feel like to talk about, especially since this COVID fiasco kicked off. I was myself just kind of looking at it through this occult lens. I know yourself with a Christian background and a lot of these books on Darwin, which I'd love to have you on again to talk about those one day. But I mean, I've been looking at this just as a gigantic psyop / gigantic occult ritual lately. I mean, the most disturbing thing I saw here in the past few days is Fauci and Obama just helping these little elementary age kids with their parents, helping them get the shots. And I was just internally just retching and looking at these just demonic creatures feasting on the death of children. I mean, that might be a little strong for some people, but that's kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Well, I think you're right. In fact, some people even looked on 9/11 as a type of satanic ritual, and that you had thousands mm-hmm. of people immolated in the Twin Towers, almost as if it was a sacrifice to a satanic being. We know that the people at the top are some people can't accept the idea that they're Satanists, but I think we can agree that they're evil, and that we've been headed on a downward path in this country and an accelerating pace for some decades now, but it really hit 2019. And one thing I should add to my bio, I guess, is that I was a registered nurse in Massachusetts, where I'm still living, for 45 years. So this gave me some healthcare perspective on what was happening. I immediately knew when COVID hit and the lockdowns hit. You know, I'd been working on a book for about 8 months on 9/11, because there were so many competing theories regarding 9/11. I really wanted to get to the bottom of it. And I said, I don't want this book to be objective. I want to really recount the day of 9/11 exactly as it happened. And I want to make sure that I'm on firm ground. And then when the lockdown hit, I said, wait a minute, I got to drop this project. This COVID lockdown, and with this warp speed vaccine, and we've now seen it coming out with the vaccine passports, is the new world order coming into being very quickly. So I worked flat out. You know, I said, if they're going to make a vaccine at warp speed, I'll make a book at warp speed. So this book came out. It took me about 3 months to write it, but I'd already started a lengthy blog post on COVID when I saw it wasn't going away. So this book was on Amazon. It was their number one bestseller in the category of respiratory diseases. Sometimes exchanged places with Judy Mikovits on that position, but Amazon did censor it after 2 months. Even though it got 92% five-star reviews and 8% four-star reviews, they censored it. They would not tell me why, other than it violated their guidelines, which is something that, you know, YouTubers run into all the time. You know, they don't have any medical experts at Amazon, but they censored the book. But I already had my own printing, and the book can be bought anywhere, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all over the world, and any bookstore except Amazon. Amazon is the only platform that has censored the book. But that's Amazon for you. The intention of Amazon was obvious to us all along, that Amazon was not there to make a profit. Amazon was there to create a monopoly and to destroy small independent booksellers and competing viewpoints. And once they had that monopoly, they knew they could start to censor anything that they didn't like.
Well, what was your perspective on it? I mean, that's a huge kettle of fish, I suppose. But being a medical professional for so long in Massachusetts and a dogged researcher with so many of these topics, I mean, that gives you such a unique perspective to kind of approach it from two different angles there. You got the medical perspective as well as the researcher. I mean, what do you think was going on? I mean, we all sort of know what was going on, but I mean, as far as the medical perspective in you know, they were killing people with the ventilators. They were forcing now the vaccines, and you had the medical monopoly just kind of going along with it. And I kind of get it to a degree if you're just an average guy that has to get a job. But on the other hand, you know, at what price are you paying for that, just having to get a job, you know?
Yeah, as a registered nurse, I immediately recognized that we were seeing all kinds of things that didn't make sense. They were quarantining healthy people, saying that healthy people were somehow a danger. You know, you're not symptomatic, you haven't got a fever, but you got to wear a mask. You got to stay 6 feet apart. Yeah, we're the same people we were a few years ago. I mean, healthy people are not a danger. Of course, you have a fever and a cough, just like when you had the flu, you should, you know, self-isolate for a little while so your fever goes away. But this was insanity. The lockdowns were insanity. They're a violation of constitutional rights, the freedom to, the big tech was taking away freedom of speech. The right to a trial by jury was being canceled in many cases because that could, you know, violate social distancing, and the right to peaceably assemble. All the planks of the Bill of Rights were going out the window, and I could see that this was the New World Order. We didn't anticipate a medical pretext for it, but it suddenly was coming into being. And I saw so many things that didn't make sense. Playgrounds being shut down, even though ultraviolet light kills viruses, that's well known, and viruses need a host organism. So the idea that a swing set is going to host a virus, that doesn't make any sense. That violates the laws of science, you know. And you look down at New York. New York is like a prototype for the things that don't make sense. Now, Governor Cuomo, he he said that families can't visit their mothers and fathers or grandmothers, grandfathers in nursing homes because you got to protect granny, right? And even, as I recall, even banned people waving through the window. And yet he also discharged from hospitals thousands of COVID patients into nursing homes, which I, as a registered nurse, I was basically a frontline med-surg nurse in hospitals, but I also worked sometimes in nursing homes, and they're not equipped to deal with infectious diseases. They have a large number of nurses aides, a small number of nurses. They don't have the isolation gear in rooms in most cases. So I knew that our protocol in nursing homes is always to send the patient to the hospital, not to receive a sick patient into the hospital, so into the nursing home. So the nursing homes were this move by Cuomo. He said people sick with COVID can go to nursing homes, but people who are totally healthy can't visit their family members. This didn't make any sense at all. Well, Cuomo's gone, but now you've got a new governor in New York who's doing things that are equally nonsensical. She's laying off 70,000 healthcare workers because they don't want the vaccine. And yet she also says we're in the middle of a pandemic. Why would you lay off 70,000 healthcare workers in the middle of a pandemic? And just to take an example, there's a hospital on Long Beach, which is an island off of Long Island. It's called Mount Sinai Long Beach. They had to close their ER because 72 doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers didn't want to take the vaccine. So now they have no ER. They close their ER, and anybody who's in a car accident, has a stroke or a heart attack, they've got no hospital to go to. Bill de Blasio in New York City, there are empty firehouses now because they're firemen who don't want the vaccine. They're imploding the whole healthcare system. And if I can just add to that, I saw an interview the other day with the head of the American Trucking Association. Biden has mandated that all truckers, because they go from state to state, have to get the vaccine. 37% of all truckers have said, in the words of the CEO of the American Trucking Association, hell no to the vaccine. He said they're already short tens of thousands of drivers. If 37% of all truck drivers quit because of Biden's mandate, then the economy will totally implode. It's bad enough now, but you can imagine what will happen to the supply chain. And also in the U.S. Navy, I saw an interview with a naval commander. He said 50% of the young men in the Navy don't want the COVID vaccine. Say, why should they? The chances that they're dying from COVID, if they get it, is 0.001%. They have a perfect right to refuse it, but Biden is threatening, you know, punishment, either, military punishment or dishonorable discharge for those who refuse. Can we afford to lose 50% of our military? This is insane. It's completely insane. And yet, in my state of Massachusetts, the governor just announced vaccine passports are coming to Massachusetts. We've seen it already in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, Lithuania has kind of set the standard where you can't even go grocery shopping or go to the bank without your vaccine credentials, which have to be updated, by the way, for the new variants and the new boosters. This is just crazy. This is just craziness, and it's coming to America. Although we were a little different in America because we have some states like Florida and Texas and others that are passing mandates against vaccine mandates.
Yeah, it's as if, and I know you're familiar with this term, it's ubiquitous in our circles, I'm sure, the Cloward and Piven. It's as if all this Cloward and Piven stuff, which we've heard for decades, is here. They've just kind of obfuscated it and used this COVID as the psyop and mechanism to do it rather than some sort of Soviets takeover or Red mm-hmm. China takeover. They've used and obfuscated it with the technocracy and with the medical mafia to just kind of weave it in there without anybody really making much of a fuss.
Yeah, I did not foresee this. You know, I wrote a book this book where you mentioned it when you introed me, but The Shadows of Power, it's about the Council on Foreign Relations and how it was aiming for world government, and it was also supplying cabinet-level personnel to Washington, which is how the oligarchs that really run America behind the facade of democracy. This is how the oligarchs were able to control presidential administrations, because whether the president was a Democrat or Republican, he would get his cabinet personnel from the same place. But they were aiming for a world government. And this is something that alt media has been warning about for years, the New World Order. We've talked about it. We talked about it after 9/11, especially. But I did not, even as a registered nurse and somebody who's been following him, I saw, you know, the Ebola thing under Obama and stuff, but I never thought that they were going to use a medical pretext to sweepingly move us ahead into their totalitarian plans. But that is the way it's happening. That is the way they intend to control us on this completely false excuse that they are protecting our health by locking down the economy, you know, isolating people, destroying hundreds of thousands of small businesses. Somehow this is all for our benefit, you know, leaving people with no income, unable to pay their mortgages and their rent. You know, this is just it's been insanity from the beginning. It was never justified, not based on the survival rate, very high survival rate for COVID. Some people do get, you know, some people have died from COVID. I wouldn't dispute that, but the vast majority of people do survive it. You know, even the CDC said it's 99.74% last year survival rate, but they were conflating cancer deaths and heart deaths with COVID if you happen to test positive. So they had an inflated death rate, but Stanford University research has put it much, much lower than that. I mean, the survival rate was much, much higher than the CDC was saying. So when they said we're going to warp speed the vaccine, I said, no. I already knew about the problems with vaccines. I'd already seen, as a registered nurse, the problems the vaccines were causing. We know that there's no question in my mind that they are the basic root cause of autism. We've seen, as we've gone from in 1983, when 1 in 10,000 would get autism, when we had like 6 vaccines being given to school children before they got into school. Now it's over 70 doses of vaccines and the autism rate is like 1 in 55. There's an absolute correlation. So I already knew there was a problem with vaccines. I just didn't foresee that they were going to use the medical pretext and forced vaccination to bring about their plan.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know you can probably speak to this more than myself, but I always kind of look at a lot of these earlier events, like even the events of the 90s with Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City bombing, World Trade One, all that jazz, kind of got everybody warmed up and acclimated, kind of just, oh, we'll put in this assault weapons ban. We'll do some things to just gradual attrition. And then you saw the 9/11 false flag, which I would agree wholeheartedly. I saw that as, or do now anyway, as a big satanic sacrifice. They might as well have had a portrait of Moloch on the building there. But, you know, in much the same way that was used as, quote unquote, for your safety, now we got the Patriot Act. Now, you know, I don't know how many constitutional Bill of Rights we lost right there. And then you had the advent of Guantanamo. And I was drawing a lot of parallels between that and the folks from the January 6th event, how we basically have Guantanamo, D.C. now. They don't call it that. But, I mean, we've got people, speedy trial, maybe not. Torture, sure. We'll just no access to care, fine. You know, and it's all kind of just under the guise of safety, under the guise of we've supplanted the old terrorists with a new terrorist. Now the new terrorist is the American people. The new terrorist is those that don't take the vax, that question elections, that just do anything reasonable, you know, according to the founding fathers. And here we are.
It's like a continuous psyop. It's one thing after another, driving us in the same direction towards, you know, the more government control, a cashless society, a surveillance, denial of rights. Under 9/11 was a pretext of terror. Now it's a pretext of COVID is going to get you. It's moving ahead. They're moving ahead at warp speed right now. Usually in the past, they did things kind of slowly. They would, as they say, boil the frog. Mm-hmm. But now they've really got their foot on the accelerator. And I think because they're pushing it too fast and too hard, it has helped wake people up. That's one hopeful sign we see from this. There are more people questioning the narrative, and you know, Fauci has just contradicted himself so many times. There's videos out there called Fauci versus Fauci, and they'll say Fauci saying one thing and then he says the exact opposite. You know, somebody told me more than a year ago that Fauci does this so that he can always point to some quote he made that will be right, you know. I mean, because he takes every position on every issue, but basically pushes the narrative forward. And one of these guys, it just never goes away. You know, he's like Henry Kissinger. I mean, he's just always there.
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff that has come to light that I didn't even know about. I mean, Fauci's connections with HIV and Fauci's connections with testing this nonsense, the AZT and the other drug, which escapes me, on children. I mean, this is 30 some odd years ago, almost 40 years ago, for Pete's sakes.
They're still around.
This parasite's still here. I can't believe this stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and I didn't check Amazon recently, but I know last time I looked at Robert F. Kennedy's book on Fauci, the real Anthony Fauci, was the number one best-selling book of all books on Amazon. And interestingly enough, last year, the number one book on Amazon of all books for many weeks was Judy Mikovits' book, A Plague of Corruption. She worked under Fauci, and she was exposing Fauci's corruption. But, you know, you don't hear the mainstream media talking about the popularity of these books, or by and large, they don't interview these people to find out. But the information is out there. Actually, you can access the truth. I just wouldn't recommend using Google and the fact checkers, because the fact checkers, you know, PolitiFact is primarily funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They've got more money from them than any place else. And I think factcheck.org is, they're funded by a foundation that is heavily, heavily invested in big pharma. So, of course, they're always going to come down on the side of Pfizer, you know, and it's the fact checking is worthless. These people have already made up their minds, as far as I can see, before they fact check anything. A real fact checker would go with an open mind and say, you know, is this true or not? Let's look at both sides of the argument. But these guys, they have their instructions before they even look, you know. And so Snopes goes in that corner. Reuters, which is owned by the Rothschilds, of course, they have a fact check. Reuters, right? And so if you just do your own research by checking these people, you're never going to get to the bottom of the truth. You really got to know where to look, especially with this massive censorship. You know, I mentioned my book, but Robert F. Kennedy has been censored on Facebook and on Instagram. And he said, you know, show me where my book is wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. I've documented everything. And of course, you know that Instagram and Facebook and Amazon, they don't have medical people on there that know if this is true or not. They just get their orders to censor something, so they do it. So that's why they couldn't answer Robert F. Kennedy, like Amazon couldn't answer me why they censored my book. So we just, you know, we do the best we can to evade the censorship and to bring the truth to people. But it's, you know, again, this is an intrusion on the First Amendment, or a right of free speech. And the only way to get to the truth about anything is to hear different viewpoints, different, you know, like in a courtroom, you need to hear not just the defense and not just the prosecution. You need to hear both sides of the argument. And you need to hear people, and if you're investigating COVID, you need to hear people like Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Dolores Cahill and Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Mike Yaden, former chief science officer for Pfizer. You know, these people are credentialed scientists who are posing the official narrative, but they are never interviewed in the mainstream media. So this is a challenge for people, to get people out of that blue-pilled matrix that they live in. Many of them lived in it all their lives. They don't even realize that the media is under the control of five corporations, and that's a monolith, and they're not going to tell you the truth. And I've even seen a couple of examples of mainstream newscasters admitting we're not allowed to challenge the narrative, and they're not.
That's just a sad truth. That's so ridiculous. I had the pleasure of talking with Celia Farber, who contributed a lot to the RFK Jr. book just last week, and she was giving us just so much more information. But I think it's such a tenuous, you know, a tenuous tie that holds this whole PSYOP together.
Yeah.
And I mean, to your point, I think even the what you would call mainline blue blood Republicans, of which some of my family members extended, you know, I told them about this when it first started. I was like, yeah, this is hogwash. But they still got the vaccine. Their mantra was, we want to get back to normal. We want to go to stores and games and all this. And I'm like, it's not coming back, folks. It's not coming back to normal as we knew it. Certainly without, I hate to say a fight, but without some serious resistance. I'll say some serious resistance, not violence, but some sort of en masse, no, we're not going to sit at the back of the bus moment. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's happened, of course, in Europe and in Australia, where they're staging massive protests, millions of people, and it's not being covered, of course, by the mainstream news. They don't want people to know. But yeah, it's going to take a big wake up. And, you know, it is very difficult to reach people. You know, these vaccine passports will never go away. And let me just amplify why that is. We see that the vaccines don't work. If you go to, you know, the island of Gibraltar was 100% vaccinated, everybody on the island, and yet they now have a huge explosive outbreak of COVID. Portugal, the New York Times went early October, they had a headline that it's hard to find an unvaccinated person in Portugal. Now their COVID cases are surging. Same with Israel. The double jabbed are getting COVID. In my state of Massachusetts, Barnstable County had an outbreak of COVID. 74% have been double jabbed. Now, the vaccines didn't work. So what's the solution? More vaccines. Give them a booster. Okay. Now they got just this past week, we had the Omicron, right? And now they're saying, okay, well, you're going to need a booster for that. And Macron in France has said, well, you know, you're going to need boosters to update your vaccine passport. So you see where this is going. It's going to be endless. And I in my book, COVID-19, The Intended to Come, Red Pilled, I quoted an Italian eminent nanopathologist, Stefano Montaneri. He said, this will never end. This is back in 2020 before the vaccines were rolled out. He said, if I had proposed a coronavirus vaccine when I was in school, my professor would have kicked me out of the classroom. He said, because coronaviruses, which are one of the causes of the common cold, they always mutate. They always have variants. That's why we never get immune to the common cold. So this Omicron variant, you can be sure Fauci was not surprised. Coronaviruses always mutate. Since they always mutate, you'll always get a new variant. So you'll always need a new booster, and you'll need that booster to keep your passport active. So they will never take away the passports once they institute them. There is no end because coronaviruses don't stop mutating. This is one of the things that doesn't make any sense, but our governments, you know, who are under the control of the oligarchs, the bankers and the rich, the 1%, will go along with it. And of course, the Gates Foundation has their pumping their billions of dollars into this whole narrative. You know, they've given, according to their own records, they've given $319 million to the media, including millions to CNN and the BBC and National Public Radio and so forth. So naturally, Bill Gates only gets soft questions when he goes on the air, and nobody asks him why a computer geek is suddenly an expert on how we should respond to a pandemic when he has no medical credentials. He's not a doctor, he's not a scientist, he's not a virologist, but everybody turns to him, Mr. Gates, what should we be doing next? So the money, follow the money, follow the, you know, money makes the world go round, as they say, and in a certain sense, that's certainly true.
Yeah, I mean, I know you've got so much expertise on the Council of Foreign Relations. And that's kind of one of the questions that myself and perhaps other people have with this whole thing, because we know that Fauci's a puppet. We know that Biden and Obama and all these the TV heads are just sort of figureheads. They're not even the man behind the curtain, I don't think. They're kind of the man in front of the curtain, maybe to the side of the curtain. What do you think's at the head of this whole thing? I mean, I kind of go back to the spiritual quite often and say, okay, well, it's evil. I mean, if you can't say anything else about this whole fiasco, it's definitely evil. But who's pulling the strings? Is it really the what I kind of term as the global satanic death cult, trying to kill as many as possible on every continent to bring in some sort of outside entity? I don't know.
Well, I think you're absolutely on the money there. Yeah, definitely a death cult, because you can look for so many. If you just look up on the internet, population reduction quotes, you see Ted Turner calling for a 95% reduction in world population. How do you get rid of 95% of the world's population without killing people? It's not going to happen. You know that Bill Gates, of course, is obsessed with population reduction. In his TED talk, he talked about reducing it by 15%. But I would say privately, he's probably more in line with Ted Turner. And, of course, Prince Philip famously said they'd like to return to Earth as a deadly virus to solve overpopulation, which really ties it into COVID. And Zbigniew Brzezinski gave a talk to the Royal Institute of International Affairs in Britain in, I believe it was 2008, and he said that it's easier these days to kill a million people than to control a million people, because people listen to the internet, they're hard to control, so it's easier to kill them now. So there are so many quotes like that from these globalists and these elite. They definitely want to reduce world population, and that goes back to the Georgia Guidestones, you know, having 500 million people on Earth as opposed to the over 7 billion we have now. And when you look at the fact that they're obsessed with population reduction, and Bill Gates, whose father was one of the directors of Planned Parenthood, he boasts of that. And Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortions, which is a method of population reduction, right? You're trusting, mm-hmm. you want to trust your kids with a Bill Gates vaccine? I don't think so. But yeah, they're aiming at population reduction and then ultimately control. And yes, I think that if you look at the statements that have been made by people over the years who have investigated these powers that be, such as William Guy Carr, who was in Canadian intelligence back in the 50s, or Ted Gunderson, who was the special agent in charge of the LA branch of the FBI, or recently there was Ronald Bernard, the Dutch currency manipulator. He gave several interviews as one of the most important bankers in Europe. He turned against it, and because he was invited to take part in child ritual sacrifice at the Church of Satan. And it's like, okay, we can see that these people are Satanists, and it's been confirmed for decades now. And yes, this is demonic. It is satanic. And certainly, whether it's the wars and the bombing of other countries, or 9/11, or any of the lies we've been told, you know, all the changes we've seen in our culture over the last decade, you know, with transgenderism, for example. I have a friend who's a doctor, a pathologist, and she's out of state now, but she had to examine the breast and ovaries of young girls who had their breasts and ovaries cut off because they were told they wanted to be boys instead of girls. I mean, we're just seeing the whole culture going insane right now, and on the social level, on the political level, on the medical level, and they're moving towards an ultimate totalitarian state that we have warned about in alt media for years, that they were aiming for this world government. But again, we didn't expect it to happen through medical pretext or to be accelerated the way it has over the last couple of years. But yeah, very dangerous, very evil. I don't see how anybody can look at these people and say they're doing something good for humanity.
Yeah, it's so sick. I mean, you mentioned the transgenderism thing, which is a huge element of this. But I mean, I was thinking about this recently, where so much of the stuff that I used to focus on is kind of blended into the background noise, which is so sad. I mean, the GMO, the atrazine, the plastics in the food. I mean, all this stuff is still there. It's still so atrocious and still going on. But now, you know, at the forefront, there's the crazy psyop. So, I mean, I've often thought about that myself, because I mean, I'm not that old. I'm about to be 44 or 45 here. But yeah, it's like when I was a kid, none of this was really at the forefront. Yeah, there was perhaps somebody that was gay. Yeah, you know, this, that, or the other. But now, I mean, you look at all these people in the community, and it's like, what the devil happened? How in the world did we see all these people suddenly flipped on their head, sort of, and wearing a dress and cutting things off and claiming this, that, or the other? You know, to borrow a phrase from John B. Wells, you know, if it's not the end times, it'll certainly do till they get there, it seems like. It looks like it. I mean, if you do the Joe Salente thing and look at Main Street, not Wall Street, I mean, Main Street's looking pretty scary right now, just with the beings that are out there, if you want to call them.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, things like transgenderism, it wasn't through the lobbying. There aren't that many transgender people, and it wasn't through their lobbying that, for example, that Obama ordered transgender bathrooms. You know, this is top down to influence presidents to make those kind of decisions. This is top down influence. So you know that the Satanism is coming from the top, and it always has. There's basically a pyramid scheme. In fact, you know, on the back of the dollar bill, you know, we've got that pyramid with the all seeing eye on the top. But the pyramid isn't complete, and people say that what they're trying to do is build the pyramid until it connects to Satan, and then, you know, the book of Revelation, the Bible puts it, the Antichrist would rule, and he would, and you know, I wrote this book, The Shadows of Power, in 1988 on the drive for world government. Well, one of the things that finally occurred to me was that the Antichrist is going to govern the world, according to the Bible, he'll have control over all nations and peoples. And I said, to govern the world, you need a world government. So it's not hard to tie that in. You see the League of Nations, and the same people behind that were behind the UN, and then of course their counterparts in Europe were behind the EU, which was meant to be a stepping stone toward world government, you know, consolidate the currencies into the euro and consolidate the laws. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're supposed to have North American Union here in America.
Yeah, the Amero.
We're gonna have the Amero. We have the common currency here, but thanks to people like Ron Paul and other alert congressmen, that never did. NAFTA never did become the North American Union in the way that the common market became the European Union. So the bad guys have occasionally had, little roadblocks along the way, but they're pushing it really hard now. And you can see exactly where their intentions are. And they're trying to silence us in alt media. Event 201, I'm sure you're familiar with that. The event that with a dry run for the pandemic before the Wuhan outbreak occurred. You had Event 201 in 2019, where the Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum were sponsoring this activity, where I think the World Economic Forum is part of that. Now I think so. But they were rehearsing this whole thing, including using big tech, Facebook and the rest of the big tech platform, to silence any dissent because they would spread misinformation. But the misinformation is coming from the mainstream. It always has, on all the major PSYOPs, all the major issues. But they wanted to really not just push a narrative, but to silence all the critics of the narrative. And so tens of thousands of YouTube channels have been taken down, websites have been taken down. And they're going to keep pushing this and telling the people that this is fake news and conspiracy theories, when in fact, we're just dealing with critical thinking and facts. And we make a mistake. Most of us, we're happy to correct the mistake. But these guys aren't interested in the truth. They're interested in their agenda.
And that's true. I mean, they've got such a control over everything. I've told everybody I've got one strike left on YouTube. So it's probably... Most sad, a lot of my content doesn't even go up there anymore, because if I mention the dreaded C word, they tend to not like that. So,
right.
It's on Rumble and all these other platforms. But, I mean, that's a scary thing. Like you mentioned, people are getting their whole sites taken down. That's something that's not talked about a lot. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people like, yeah, my site's been taken down. I can't buy or sell because they've taken my credit platforms away. They've taken my ability to do what I do away. So. Just another control mechanism in the quiver, I guess, from the New World Order satanic death cult people.
Yeah, I know people who have had their MailChimp accounts, their mass mailings taken down by MailChimp. I moved my website from jamespoloff.com to jamespoloff.net because I saw that the platform I was on was censoring people. And, you're speaking about having strikes on YouTube. I was on Spiros Skouras, you probably know him. He's one of the leading battlers against the COVID PSYOP. And I did an interview with him. And the interview lasted about an hour. Well, in less than an hour, YouTube had already removed this video. Oh, they didn't even bother listening to the whole video. They already had us off. So we had to go to BitChute with that one. But yeah, I think they have to have bots who are looking out for these things. They have to have a computerized system. So you mentioned the big C or the big V. They're going to be looking out for that and trying to take you down. So I don't know where you're going to put this interview, but we've already mentioned the C word and the V word. So
yeah, it won't make it to YouTube. Probably.
Yeah, you probably better keep it off of YouTube. I think just my name is kind of a red flag, because Facebook, on my old website, jamespoloff.com, they blocked every post. Every post was considered abusive. If you tried to share it, I wrote a post on the Korean War. One of the first posts I wrote that was considered abusive speech. And Facebook Messenger wouldn't even allow my website, jamespoloff.com, to be mentioned on Facebook Messenger. And I wasn't on Facebook myself, but anybody who tried to mention my website would be blocked. So I think I'm kind of a red flag. So I would keep, I'd keep this interview off of YouTube. You're probably doing yourself. I don't want
That's
you to
true.
Get a third strike.
I was going to do that. So.
Just keep it off. I think I'm flagged already.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nixon made this quote a long time ago where he said something to the effect that the American people won't believe it unless they see it on TV.
That's right.
Which is true. But now, now they've controlled the whole sphere. They've controlled the little spy devices that people carry in their pocket, the telephone. They've controlled the media online, they control the newspapers, the magazines, of course, the cult of celebrity. They can't step out of line and say something against it. Right. So I hate to say they've got the kind of game on lock, but they've definitely got so many avenues. It's becoming more and more difficult to even find people that are hip to what's going on, awake to what's going on. I don't know. What do you think as far as the chances of us turning this whole thing around, or the chances of the newer generations actually figuring this thing out? I don't know.
Well, there's a couple of viewpoints. One is I do believe we ought to fight this thing out to the end. You know, there was an old Vietnam veteran. He was an officer, and he said, you know, if you're surrounded and outnumbered and it looks like you're going to lose, it's true that if you keep on fighting, you might lose. But if you give up, you're guaranteed to lose. So he said, mm-hmm. you know, keep on fighting. It's the only chance you've got to win. Now, on the other hand, in my book, COVID-19 and the Agendas to Come, Red Pilled, I have 27 chapters in there covering, you know, contact tracing, the lockdowns, death certificates, nursing homes, everything. But the final chapter is a hopeful chapter. And I say, you know, the Bible doesn't end with the Antichrist. It ends with the return of God, with the return of Christ. And, you know, this, what we're seeing right now does seem to be a fulfillment of the book of Revelation, of people receiving a mark. Because, you know, I quote in my book, Rice School of Bioengineering, which is developing what they call a digital tattoo with funding for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they say this will contain your vaccine record because we need to know who's been vaccinated. And they also have this whole thing in West Africa with a beta testing and a digital ID with trust stamp and MasterCard and Bill Gates' Gavi Alliance. You can see where they're headed with this. Evidently, they want everybody to have a digital ID, and you won't be able to buy or sell without it, which is exactly what the Bible says in Revelation, that you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So they put a digital tattoo on you. You've got the mark. And I know many theologians who've already spotted this, but there are other Christian churches that opened up and using themselves as venues for vaccination. They don't see it at all. But you think any Christian who's familiar with the Bible would see what's coming to pass. It's if you've got any kind of orientation to what's happening in our culture. And for me, you mentioned you were in the 40s. Me, I'm 70 years old, and I was a child in the 1950s, and I can still remember those days. And it was actually from 53 to 63. I call that the golden age of America, because you know, between the Korean War and Kennedy's assassination, which was shortly thereafter followed by the Vietnam War, we're at peace, basically at peace for 10 years. We were prosperous. The economy was growing. People had jobs. And also the country was basically unified. I mean, disagreements over, you know, a spending bill or something, and Republicans and Democrats might argue, but our morals were basically uniform. We had, you know, a common outlook on what was right and wrong. And even the TV shows, in order to get people to buy TV sets during the golden age of television, they were moral too. There was no swearing, no sex, no violence, no graphic violence anyway. So that was kind of a golden age time. And we've just, frankly, since the Kennedy assassination and the onset of the Vietnam War, I think it's safe to say we've continuously gone downhill, not seeing America just change step by step. Again, they were boiling the frog for a long time, but now they're not boiling the frog. It's like they're smashing against the the wall. It's like now we want the World Economic Forum, where it's you'll own nothing and you'll have no privacy and you'll be happy.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a heck of a job. I mean, I try to stay in that vein as far as the television goes. I always say I watch stuff from about 60 years ago. I love the Andy Griffith Show. That's one of those shows that my daughter and I can watch. But as far as anything out today, I mean, forget about it. I don't even want to watch it. I feel like it dumbs my brain down just having looked at this stuff. But, I mean, you mentioned the Korean War. Something I often reference on here is the Bitterman coercion charts. There was a psychologist, I can't remember his first name, Dr. Bitterman, who was looking at all those techniques that were used during the Korean War to break the POWs. And, of course, that got kind of distilled in ended up being used by the Army and, of course, the CIA. And it was uncovered a few different times. Like, hey, well, we're using those techniques now. It's kind of we've applied all those principles that we would use against the enemy and inverse those against the American people, which I guess would be the enemy right about now, or anybody that has eyes to see and ears to hear what's really going on. But it's just so disheartening. And I'm happy to have you on that you get to kind of give that perspective when – you had that view before America kind of began to become captured, and here we are today. So, I mean, that's quite a dichotomy.
Yeah, it's good to have perspective, and I guess that's one thing that young people are lacking. And I'm afraid that there's going to be some children now going to grow up with knowing nothing but lockdown and masks on their faces. Younger people, it's hard for them to have that perspective. And yet I'm surprised, I've occasionally met young people, in their 20s who are totally up to speed on what's going on. So there are some minds that can break through the matrix and still see it. So that's encouraging, that some people are still thinking logically and weighing, they're seeing Fauci contradict themselves again and again and saying, wait a minute, what's going on here, And this doesn't make sense. There's so many things about this lockdown and these vaccine mandates that absolutely don't make sense on any kind of healthcare pretense that they want to make.
I mean, I always kind of tell people it doesn't make sense until you realize they want us all dead. And then it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's so sick and twisted that we have to sort of reframe our brain to go, oh, yeah, they want us all dead. Like, that's the game plan, or at least most of us. What's their... the numbers from the Georgia Guidestones and Bill Gates and Ted Turner and the like. I mean, that's the game plan, people. It's really sad that we have to tell you that, but it's true.
Yeah, it's coming to fruition now. The things that we saw, those population quotes are not new, but it's actually happening in reality now. And if you start to look at the bears getting, the vaccine accident. Vaccine adverse event reporting system. Latest numbers from the CDC following vaccination: 18,000 deaths, 9,000 heart attacks, 12,000 myocarditis, pericarditis, 29,000 people permanently disabled. But that's a small fraction, because most doctors don't report, and a lot of them don't even seem to know that the VAERS system exists. So the numbers I just quoted are just a small fraction of what's really dying in. The number of people really dying. And I have an associate who died of a heart attack 2 weeks after he got the vaccine. And I know another family, two members of the family in critical condition the same day they got the vaccine. That's not coincidence. They'll try to say coincidence, It's so ironic that when people have blood clots and heart attacks after the vaccine, they'll say it's a coincidence. But when the previous year, when people were having COVID, if they died of cancer, they'd say, oh, well, we can't presume that's from cancer. We'll presume it's from COVID. That's okay. We'll count that in the COVID death numbers. Just completely illogical, completely opposite thinking and strategy.
Well, I'm glad you got a positive spin at the end of your book. And that's perhaps where I need to be more often. But how do you think we can get the heck out of this bear trap, so to speak? I always kind of reference, we got to get out. We got to stop playing the game. Stop going to the medical mafia. Stop eating the GMO. That's all easier said than done for so many people. But especially now where we've got people that can't work if they don't take the vaccine, or can't go to we're approaching the holiday season, can't even go see loved ones because they're so ingrained in the cult.
There's a lot of things. One is the spreading of true information, you're doing on your channel. And I got an order for my book, case of books, from a couple in California, and they said, a few months ago, Gavin Newsom state, no one would listen to us, but they said people are waking up now. Now everybody listens when we talk. So I think there's signs of an awakening, and we see it in these millions of people in Europe, New Zealand, Australia, who are marching for freedom. It's not so much true in America. We don't have a really consolidated rebellion because some states have already taken measures against COVID mandates. So we're kind of, we have the blue states and the red states, and we're not under centralized control quite as much as some of these European countries. So we haven't animated, people aren't quite as animated as they are in Europe. The other thing is lawsuits. We did see a federal judge overruling Biden's mandate on healthcare workers in 10 states recently. I know that Rainer Fulmich, the German attorney who successfully sued Volkswagen in Reichsbank, I think it was, he's mounting lawsuits in several countries, and he's suing the World Health Organization. I know that in India they're suing the World Health Organization for claiming that ivermectin doesn't work when it does work so well in India. So the courts are a solution. The protests are a solution. And the spreading of true information is a solution. And if we get enough protests and enough lawsuits, I think there is a possibility that they might back off. But so far, It seems like when we up the ante, they do too. It doesn't seem like there's a little back down here and there, but I'm not seeing them letting up too much. They're still pushing, you know, the narrative that we need the vaccine passports in at least in certain states and certainly in Europe. Europe is in Australia and New Zealand, they're very frightening to look at right now.
Well, that's so true with Europe and Australia, specifically in Europe. I mean, they're going nuts over there as far as rebelling against this stuff. But it's kind of like that allegory of the cave thing. The average American's just seeing the flicker on the wall that the mainstream media wants them to see, which isn't going to be the protests throughout Europe or the people standing up and or getting beaten and assaulted by the criminal thugs in under the guise of police and military in these other countries. So.
Well, Australia is just horrific now. I just saw a video from one of the quarantine camps in Australia. It was a hidden video. The guards didn't know. But a woman was told, if you step over that yellow line, you will be fined $5,000. You know, it's like, and this woman wasn't even sick with COVID. She wasn't even COVID positive. She just, she happened to have, be in the same room with somebody who tested COVID positive. Now she's in a quarantine camp. And, you know, people said there was a conspiracy theory these camps would ever come about, but all these things they call vaccine passports, conspiracy theory. I talked about in my book that in the future you'll need a proof of vaccination to enter places. And people said that's a conspiracy theory. It's all come true. So people said conspiracy theories should better be called spoiler alerts because they tell you what's coming next. We've been right, so much of the time. It's tough though. You know, I have a friend who bought, several copies of my book to give to her family and they wouldn't even open the book. I mean, that's how blue pilled they were. They wouldn't even open the book to look. And, you know, my whole book is documented 289 end notes, but they wouldn't open it. And so people won't even look, it's pretty hard to reach them. But not everybody's that way. There's still people on the fence and we got to try to reach to those people who are, you know, especially people who have had a loved one die from the vaccine. Those people start to say, wait a minute, this is really, or they've lost their job due to the mandate. They start to question what's going on, and they're more open to hearing. So I'm very hopeful that if we keep pushing hard, despite the fact that we don't have the money that these guys funded by central banks have, to push their narrative. You know, we don't get the big seven-digit salaries that the news anchors do. We struggle along. But we have the truth on our side, and they don't. So they keep making – Dr. Fauci keeps making logical statements, and he's got the microphone. We don't have the microphone, but we got the truth, and we can disprove Fauci, you know. So anybody willing to listen to reason, and I hope there are enough people that we can turn the tide in this. That's what I hope and pray for.
That's certainly the truth. I think that's a great spot to leave it today. And I want to mention your books again, because just like you said, I mean, we are approaching the holiday season and you got so much great knowledge that people can buy as gifts. Even if there's family members that are too much ignorance is bliss and they don't want their cognitive dissonance broken, it's worth a shot, people. And we are definitely approaching the, I'd say, end game, unfortunately, unless we turn things around. So definitely. How can people support you, find your books, find more information about you and anything else, James?
I have 6 books out. 5 are available on Amazon, except my COVID book, which they took down. But you get the COVID book. You go to my website and just there's links there that'll show you how to buy the book. You get it at Barnes & Noble and any seller, bookseller, except for Amazon. And then my other books, you know, Shadows of Power and Truth is a Lonely Warrior and 13 Pieces of the Jigsaw and my major debunking of Darwin, which was really it was a psyop in its own day, actually, to make people stop believing in God, that God had created the world. And instead we just evolved from bacteria who turned into fish, who turned into, you know, reptiles, who turned into mammals, who turned into men. You know, that theory is actually a house of cards. And I did an interview with Sean Vesti, Key Report. It was his most watched interview ever on Darwin's theory. And then, of course, Sean's YouTube channel is gone. But you can still find it on BitChute or on my website, that interview. But those are my major books. I have one, a short one called The Case Against Darwin, but just for people who don't want to read a long book on Darwinism. But yeah, those books are all available on Amazon except for the COVID book. And my website is jamesperloff.net. And I'm on Twitter again as James Perloff. And but you know, I lost 300 followers last night on Twitter.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, 300 just boop. It's like I'm no, they didn't individually unfollow me. I know that they most of them had their accounts censored by Twitter. I mean, it's more part of the big tech censorship that's going on. But yeah, trying to bring the truth as I know it from. I was red pilled in 1978 when I read Gary Allen's book, None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, and I started writing for the New American Magazine in 1985. And I wrote The Shadow of Power in 88. So I've been at this for a while now, writing for 36 years. And I've tried to, on my website, you'll find a lot of articles, you know, in the Spanish American War, Pearl Harbor, Lusitania, Tonkin Gulf and Vietnam, Korean War. 9/11, but I was working on a book on 9/11. I said my book posts on 9/11 were a little too speculative, and that's one thing I wanted to avoid with my book on 9/11, which I unfortunately had to cut short because of COVID, was to avoid speculation and strictly, very strictly, be completely factual. That's what I was aiming for on that. But you'll find a lot of interesting history about the world and America on my website if you explore the blog and the past posts that I've written.
That sounds amazing. We got to have you back on. At the very least, to talk about that Darwin stuff. That's something I've always been quite interested in. And the 9/11 stuff as well. I mean, it's just such a house of cards with all these different psyops. Hopefully they were all being exposed more thanks to your work and others. So, well, if you'll stick around for a few seconds, I will close things up here and talk to you off the air.
Okay.
All right. Perfect. Well, folks, if you missed any of this, if you missed any of those links James was talking about, you can, of course, find them at AnomicAge.com, as well as today's episode, the video and the audio, all the past guests, and so much more. So if you're not, AnomicAge.com is where you can find all that information. As I say in closing, you can't do everything, but you can do something, so please try to get out there and do your part and make that difference. Be safe out there. We'll see you sooner than later in the Anomic Age.
Thank you for listening to The Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to The Anomic Age. I'm going to go to the next one.